Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
This is Matthew chapter 7. It's Sermon on the Mount. Ask and will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone, or if a child asks for fish, will give a snake? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets, and this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. For the next several weeks, David and I together are working at least through the month of September and then on through October with similar themes. We're working together off of a book that was written by a bishop of the United Methodist Church, Bishop Robert Snazy, out of Missouri. And the title of his book is Five Practices of Faithful Living. A couple of years ago, he wrote a book called Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations. But this is a little different. It's about fruitful living. It's about applying particular principles to our lives, our personal lives, day in and day out. And he uses the similar themes that he used before, and you may recognize these: radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. You may be familiar with those things. But what we're going to do in the next several Sundays together is talk about these particular fruits and practices in our own personal life. And so the day is radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. Everybody say that. Radical hospitality. Put a little edge to the radical. You can use your own imagination and give it a little radicality. Will you say radical in your own radical way? Radical hospitality. Thank you. Now, there are scriptural authorities and emphasis related to the whole idea of hospitality. Paul uses one in particular in Romans. When he talks about the marks of Christian discipleship, what it means to be living in the life of Christ, he has markers. Chapter 12, he says, for those of us living together in Christian community, how should we live with one another? And Paul says that love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with mutual affection and outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in any zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality. One of the famous lines in the New Testament related to hospitality is in Hebrews. Some of you may be very familiar with this one. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in chapter 13. Let mutual love continue within the community, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have even entertained angels unawares. I just wonder if you've had a personal experience of that yourself. The surprise visits of strangers who turned out to be maybe not long-lasting friends, but in that moment, they were true blessings. Can't tell you how many times I've been stranded on the side of the highway when an angel appeared. The writer of Hebrews gets this from the book of Genesis. There's a story related to Abraham. He's sitting under the oaks of Mamre, having a nice day, when he looks on the horizons and there's three visitors approaching, strangers out of nowhere. And he calls his wife Sarah to make ready to greet these strangers, who end up being three manifestations of God, who come bearing a prophetic word to Abraham that day. Don't neglect to show hospitality even to strangers, for you may be entertaining angels unaware. Robert Snasey, in this book, talks about what it means to practice radical hospitality. He calls it having an attitude of receptivity. Good word, receptivity, and an intentional practice of it. Okay, attitude of receptivity. I've been thinking about that, receptivity. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always been fascinated with radios. And some of you may remember those small little crystal radios that you could connect the wire to some kind of a grounding thing, and you could put the little earphone in your ear. And out of the blue, almost out of nowhere, you get this voice. I mean, it's like, whew, out of nowhere. But we all know, you know, we're now in our age of, you know, super high tech, and, you know, we're all into internet Wi-Fi and microwaves and all. I'm sure you have. I'm sure in some ponderous moment, every one of you have had this moment of, I wonder how many television and radio and space frequencies and waves are passing through my body right now. There are hundreds from all over the world. I mean, if you had the right reception in your body, you could pick up South Africa. If you had the right reception in your body, you could pick up signals from outer space. They tell us, neuroscientists tell us, that our body is picking up signals that we are not even aware of. There are things going on, impressions that are being made that we have no clue is going on. Right now, we're hearing a voice. We're seeing a vision. Have you ever thought, what are you feeling at the moment? The seat you're sitting on? Does this your skin perceive the coolness of the air? Are there other stimulus going on in the room that you are totally unconscious of, but your body is receiving? What this whole idea means is, are we really receptive to the hospitality of God? It is God who loves us. It is God who gives us God's amazing and incredible grace. And are we just too busy, too insensitive, too distracted, too cluttered in our lives to receive it? To be receptive to God's hospitality. That's the point of the day. To be open and prepared. There was a sower who went out to sow. You know the story. He sowed seeds on hard ground. He sowed seeds on cluttered, rocked up soil. He threw seeds on strangling, choking weeds and thorns. And he threw seeds on good soil. The seed that landed on the good soil became fruitful and bountiful. To receive receptivity. So there was a musician who got into a cab in New York City and said to the cab driver, "Do you know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And the cab driver said, "Practice, practice, practice." Practicing receptivity. It takes practice. It takes taking time and space in your routine of life to stop, be still, and know that I am God, to receive. Okay, this morning we're going to practice. I've got a couple of practice things we're going to do. The first one is this. We tried this in another context over at in the other service, and it was amazing the surprises that people discovered in this little project we're about to do. We had a meet and greet just a few minutes ago. Everybody went around, hugged everybody. You were very, very friendly. I saw that. This is a hugging crowd. But I imagine you hugged somebody you knew. I don't think anybody hugged somebody that they hadn't met before. This practice is going to be, I'm going to say go in a minute. I want you to find somebody you do not know. You have not met them. Maybe you've seen them from afar, but you've not met them. And I want you to introduce yourself. I want you to exchange names. And then I want you to find out where they were born. Got it? Find somebody you do not know. Introduce yourself, exchange names, and then find out from one another where they were born. You got a minute. Go. Oh. Hey. Stephanie.
I was born in Blackwell, Oklahoma.
Where? Oklahoma?
Blackwell, Oklahoma.
Blackwell, Oklahoma. I was born in, I'm Vic, and I was born in Paris, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're, it's
Stephanie.
Very good. What's your name?
Maya.
Maya, and you were born where?
Paris.
Paris, Texas, or Paris, France?
Paris.
So where were you born? Oklahoma City, so you're an Oak. All of my dad's family is Oklahoma. I'm North Texas. Ah, good for you. You're Oklahoma City? Oklahoma City. He's Oklahoma City too. All right, good. You can sit down now. After you've just met your new best friend. Okay, anybody discover something they didn't know before? Well, hopefully everybody in the room. So, any surprises? Any like, thank you for indulging me. You just broke the wall of meeting an angel unaware. Okay, practice number two. This is a guided meditation of receptivity. I need you to be comfortable, both feet on the floor. Get comfortable, loose. Take a deep breath. Okay, you can do what's most comfortable for you. If you want to keep your eyes open, that's fine. If you would like to close them, that's okay too. I want you to be comfortable, not feel odd. But a couple of deep breaths are good. And I'm going to read a psalm. It's a psalm you might be familiar with. But in this very short time, I do want you to open yourself. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. And you know my thoughts, even from far away. You search my path. Even before I speak a word on my tongue, you know it completely. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high. For it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in my mother's womb. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. It is in your book that's written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So repeat after me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Several years ago, I was with a group formed together by the Texas Methodist Foundation. There was a pastor from down in the hill country. There was a pastor from Lubbock. There was a couple of pastors from the Fort Worth area, and there were three of us from Dallas. One in our group being a guy by the name of John Mollett. We were discussing together. We had been in a covenant group together for several years, and we were looking for a kind of a new way of understanding this whole idea of hospitality. And so I remembered my brother-in-law, Kelly. Kelly is the youngest brother of my wife, Mary Brooke. He died a few years ago of brain cancer. Kelly was a hospital administrator. He was a wonderful, brilliant. I mean, he just exuded the whole nature of hospitality. When he and his family, little son Ben, would go to Austin, they would always stay at the Four Seasons Hotel. And the reason is that the very first time they stayed there, they were at the counter, they were registering, and the person at the counter said, "Well, and Ben," talking to their son, said, "Ben, what's your favorite color? I'm just curious." He said, "Blue." "Very nice. And Ben, do you have any favorite video games?" And Ben said, gave the name of his favorite video game. By the time they got up to the room, there was a big cookie on the desk there. Welcome, Ben, in blue icing. And sitting next to it was his favorite video game. Now, from that moment, they could not go to any other hotel in Austin except the Four Seasons. And everywhere they went, they were recognized by the staff by their name. And the next time they showed up, the staff already knew who they were, called them by name as soon as they got out of the car. Said, how does this happen? This sense of anticipatory, intuitive hospitality. And so we were talking about that. And so we said, we need to understand that more. And so I wonder if we can figure out some way that we could go over to the Four Seasons and they can tell us about hospitality. And it worked out. The Four Seasons manager at Las Colinas invited us over for the day. We spent the day over there, and we went through this mini training thing. And we learned what their single principle is. It came from the founding Canadian entrepreneur, Isidore Sharp. It's a very simple principle. You could probably think of it yourself. Some of you may already know it. The single guiding principle that operates the Four Seasons, that if you ask any staff person on that in that hotel chain, wherever they are, from Singapore to Las Colinas, will tell you what it is. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's ours. It's Jesus' words. It's a Sermon on the Mount. We all know it as the Golden Rule. And it takes a luxury hotel to teach that to us when it's something we should all know by heart.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.